changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
So there's a reason people call him the Change Energizer. Scott Carley has the energy and knowledge to get big achievements across the finish line. He takes a proactive and innovative approach to problem solving, overcoming obstacles, and conquering failures with his emphasis on taking action. Scott helps organizations achieve objectives and increase productivity. And I know a number of you who watch these daily jumpstarts were originally speaking clients of mine who had hired me. So I encourage you to check out Scott. He's a longtime certified Vistage speaker, trusted advisor, spoken nationally to thousands of CEOs and other leaders, two-term president of the Austin chapter of the National Speakers Association, and two-term board member of the National Chapter Leadership Council of the National Speakers Association. He has traveled to over 350 cities statewide and from Australia to Europe as a keynote speaker. I'm exhausted reading this because I know what it takes to do this. So we're going to talk today about the Great Resignation. Before I do that, let me welcome on my new friend, Scott. Bear with me just a moment. We're trying a few new things. Those of you who are here with us every day, you will see that we are trying a few new things. Let's see if this works. There we go. Now we're going to this. Yes. Hold on. It gets even better, ladies and gentlemen. And there is his name. There's how to reach him and everything. And we're going to, hi, Scott.
Hey, good morning, Will. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. You know, it's day before yesterday was my birthday. And according to Facebook, I'm 93 years old. So we're just very happy and excited.
Well, good. Now, where am I finding you? Where are you?
I'm in Austin, Texas.
So you're in Austin. That you live there?
I do. We live in a suburb just north of there called Leander, but for all practical purposes, it's Austin.
I was there speaking a few months ago, and my friend Joe Vitale used to live in Austin, yeah, but lives near there now.
Yeah, he's down at Wimberley, I think.
That's it, Wimberley. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think people are automatically going to say that I have a predilection for inviting bald dudes on here because this is my third interview this week and every man has been chrome dome like me. So,
you know, hair is overrated.
You think so? Hair is overrated.
Who needs hair when you can have a nice chrome dome? Yeah, I'm happy.
I once read that women find men who are bald 10% less attractive, but 20% sexier. So I'll take that any day. I'll take the loss in attraction if you're found to be sexier. Okay, well, that's not what we're here to talk about. Oh, by the way, I always like to ask this question. Where did you speak last? Do you remember?
Oh, my last presentation was at Rochester, New York for a group of CEOs and their leaders.
Wonderful. And are you going to be hitting the road again soon anytime?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I have a gig up in Connecticut and then another one in the Los Angeles area. I'm on the road at least twice a month. And as the pandemic is going away, that will increase to even more. So,
yeah,
I love to travel. I don't know if my bio gave that hint. I love to travel, so it's okay.
You did. Yes, it did. It certainly showed me because it's a lot of commitment to do that. Well, I want to talk with you about the Great Resignation. And before we ask about the impact, et cetera, could you sort of define the Great Resignation?
Yeah, I'm sure it has a different meaning to whoever's listening, but the Great Resignation has a lot to do with people, especially during COVID, who just realize I don't like what I'm doing. I would rather be doing something else. And this working from home and all the other restrictions that I'm having to do to keep this job that I really don't like, I'm going to start looking around. I've got a bucket list of jobs I have that I'd rather look into. And there are better opportunities. People are hiring, and they're hiring with sign-on bonuses. There's a lot of opportunity out there. So people are looking around.
So that may be, as we look back, one of the hopefully positive things that came out of COVID is that people took a step back and went, wait. Because I like to listen to this podcast by the New York Times called The Daily, and they talk about, they interviewed people at the beginning of COVID and now, and I remember the story of a chef and how he would work 14, 16 hours a day, six, sometimes 7 days a week, and was barely making it. And he was like, I'll do anything else. You know, I thought I wanted to be a chef, but it's just too hard on my body and I'm not getting paid enough. So why not look around? And you're saying that, and that's a trend right now.
It is a trend. I mean, there are a lot of people who just came to terms with really looking at what they're doing, how much they're making, how much time they're having to give. And then also, you know, are my talents being really used? You know, sometimes people go to work at a job that doesn't really use their gifts and their talents. Maybe they got an education, got a degree doing something. You know, my dad was a mechanical engineer, and he was also a sales professional for Westinghouse in their industrial division. He hated his job. He absolutely hated it, but he felt like that he should stay there. And of course, he's from a past generation that just bit the bullet and did it. But I know other engineers who have said, no, I'm, you know, there's another job over here that's got more interesting opportunities that maybe I could stay home more, or maybe I could travel more. And they're going after that. So the door's opened up and people are jumping.
It seems like I have a 26-year-old daughter who works with me, and her generation, and she said this in so many words, is that we're looking for meaning, not money. We're looking for a feeling, a sense of accomplishment, and making some kind of a difference in the world, and at the same time getting paid. And I wonder, do you feel that's also a driving factor for some of the older people who are part of the Great Resignation now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, well, I was on a phone call with a client yesterday who is really struggling with the job that they're in and an opportunity that has come before them. And they're leaving a little bit of security, but they're pivoting over into something that really satisfies what they want to do. Where they're at, they don't feel like that their company or their supervisor really cares about their clients. And in this other situation, they seem to have a much deeper sense of value for the client, what they can do for the client. And, you know, mine is saying, you know, I love the work that I do. I just don't love the umbrella that I'm currently under. And so going to a place where they have a deeper sense of meaning and appreciation for what they're doing goes a long way.
So before we get into some of the specifics, do you think that, would you say that now is a good time for people who are in a job to at least sit back and evaluate whether or not that brings them meaning, money, satisfaction, as a friend of mine used to say, it rings all my bells. Do you think now's a good time for people to really take a chance to look at that, especially as you say, since people are hiring?
Yeah, I don't think there's a better time in history to do it. Coming out of the pandemic, everything is being rewritten, and what its core values are all about, what its revenue sources are all about, who the target market is. There is a huge group of baby boomers and some that aren't baby boomers who just said, it's time to check out. I'm leaving. I'm going away. And so there's a lot of empty seats coming open. And so people are looking around and saying, wow, I don't have to be stuck here. I can, and they are, they're looking around. I mean, think about it, Will. This is a generation that gets online and can look up any job, any situation, they can do research on their own, and they are. And people are posting jobs, you know, Indeed and others are posting jobs. Franchise owners, people are buying into franchises because that they're connecting that to their retirement some. Others are connecting it to opportunity. Hey, I don't want to work for somebody. I want to be my own boss. I coach a lot of entrepreneurs mm-hmm. who would struggle to work for somebody else. But boy, they are great working for themselves. And they may work more hours as an entrepreneur than they would for their boss. It's their vision now. It's what they want to do. So they're going after it.
You know what this reminds me of? I heard a podcast about when the pandemic was starting and about how the Black Death disrupted Europe. But one of the ways it disrupted Europe was so many people were dying that they literally would die and leave a blacksmith shop. And some farmer would come in and say, you know what? I always wanted to be a blacksmith or what? And they would literally take over the bakery or whatever. And no one was saying anything. People were just doing it. And it sounds like this kind of disruption, which is what we talked about on our Jumpstart yesterday, is a great opportunity if we take the time to explore it. Yes?
Yes, I agree. Awesome. I agree 100%. I think, you know, we'll talk about it more as we get into it, but you have to figure out if your passion and your gifts match. And, you know, sometimes people are really passionate. They have an idea of what it would be like to work in a profession. But once they get in there, it's like, ooh, this is not what I thought it was going to be. And, you know, I think I want to go back to a J-O-B. So
it stands for just over broke, you know?
Yeah.
Well, listen, tell me, what are three things a person should have resolved before they resign? I mean, if somebody is thinking, you know, I'm going to be part of this great resignation, there's lots and lots of opportunity out there. There are three things you say that people need to make sure they've taken care of. What are they?
Well, number one, I think you need to know what your natural giftings are, your passions. And there's a lot of personality and proficiency profiles that you can take. The one that I am most in love with is what's called the fascination profile. And it identifies the neurological personality traits that trigger the human brain to be fascinated with the way we communicate and conduct business. And once you understand what your natural giftings are and you can own them, they turn into your superpowers so that you go into a business using the natural gifts that you have. So for instance, you know, my top two out of the seven, one is innovation, and that's the language of creativity. And the other one is power and the language of confidence. So people hire me because they need creativity. They're stuck. They can't move forward. They don't know what to do. They don't come up with ideas. And ideas just flow out of me. So I can be creative with them. And then confidence, you know, I make decisions. I don't hesitate. I take action. So that's a natural gift. So situations that need that are perfect for me. Now, my wife, for instance, hers are prestige, which is the language of excellence, and alert, which is the language of details. So she has when she looks over some of my writings, I mean, she can spot grammatical problems and misspelled words and all kinds of stuff. I mean, she was like a seventh grade English teacher. She bleeds all over my paper, correcting everything. And she has that gift. And because of that, because she has the natural gift of prestige, the language of excellence, and alert, the language of details, she broke a glass ceiling in her company and was promoted. They created a new position called the Chief Officer of Excellence. And so now for the 3,500 people that work at her organization, she is raising the bar and helping them achieve higher levels of excellence, making sure all the details are in place. Now, is that cool?
Wow. That is awesome. And it's also a testament to the fact that because things are opening up, so there's very much of a blue ocean strategy applying to work today. people are able to define a bit more what they do do and what they don't want to do. And even myself, I have a number of people in different countries who I've hired through Upwork to do the silly things I don't want to do.
Yeah.
To free me up to get to talk to people like you, to being on stages, to writing, et cetera. So yeah, there's a huge amount of opportunity. It also reminds me of coming out of World War II when companies were hiring, they were offering lifetime jobs, they were offering pensions, they were offering healthcare for you and your family. And then over time, companies became less oriented that way, became less loyal, people became less loyal, until now it's kind of, it's a very common thing and not disreputable to change, to make a change.
Oh yeah. People are finding that just, you know, ditto. That's just the best way to say it. Ditto. Everything you said, I agree with.
Well, I feel going like back I, to your we were talking about the three things, right? And I feel
yeah,
like
going
we
back
covered
to the original three questions. Yeah. The first one is, what are your giftings? What are your superpowers? Right. And the second one is, it's what I call, what is your dream destination? What's your bucket list? What do you really want to do? And until people can define that, I call it in my 3-day retreat, what's your Eiffel Tower? What is your vocation destination that you want to go to? What have you been dreaming about? What did you think about as a kid? When you grew up, this is what you wanted to be, or what fascinated you? And until you figure that out, you don't know where to put an application in. You know, I had a friend that loves Disney and has a degree in engineering, and they just did a bunch of research and discovered that Disney hires Imagineers, and Imagineers are the mechanical and electrical engineers that create the magical kingdom and all the rides and everything that's there. And Disney's hiring for that. So until you know what your final destination is and where you want to go, don't quit your day job until you figure out what it is you really want to do. You may need to go back to school and get a master's degree. You may need to go get a certification in something specific. Maybe get into the financial industries and you need to get, you know, your Series 6 and 7 license. So you just need to know where you're going.
Okay. So know your gifts, know where you're going, and number three.
And then you're going to have to ask yourself, what is the emotional and financial cost of what I'm going to do? Because it's a leap of faith. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to dance with the mystery. You're not going to know all the answers, but you're going to have to take a leap of faith and step into some things that you are unfamiliar with. Are you prepared to do that? And that's a big question.
You said, are you prepared to do that? And I get that because it's amazing. I was talking to somebody a couple of months ago, and this person had decided they were going to get into the online lingerie business. And I said, do you have any experience in the online lingerie business? No. Do you wear lingerie? No. Do you know where you're going to get them? No. So she was not prepared for the education she was about to get, trying to jump into something she did not have any preparation for, talent for, et cetera. People tend to jump towards the dollar bill instead of jumping towards what it is they can do, you know, and how best to do it.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that. And, you know, one of my gifts is that, you know, I take action and I encourage people all the time, take action, quit talking, start doing something. And that's that third piece. I mean, somebody said a long time ago, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to do this. Well, take one day and put it in today and go sign up for the course that you need to take that will make you an expert in that industry. I do presentations probably 2 or 3 times a year for a group called Job Seekers here in Austin. And it's professionals, highly skilled professionals that were laid off or something happened and their job evaporated And now they're out there looking for their next job. And some of them are, you know, anywhere from 40s to 50s. There are younger sets as well. But all the time, they're having to get into the mindset, I need to go back out there and take that leap of faith for what I'm going to do. And it's just, that's a big deal. Just action, action, do something.
Yeah. It reminds me of Think and Grow Rich. You know, everybody gets caught up in the first thing, which is something you alluded to, and that is know where you're going there with great specificity. But step number two is, and this is where people fall off the wheels, they'll make vision boards all day, but step number two is take action whether you feel ready or not. And that's where, you know, I see people, especially who want to get into speaking and things like that. They want to do it, you know, but they'll spend 3 weeks designing their business card. Whereas I can't remember the last time I handed out a business card, you know? So,
yeah.
Well, go ahead, please.
I do these 3-day retreats, and I just finished a 3-day retreat about, you know, we did it. That's the whole theme of it. We did it. And one of the individuals in that has had a book inside of them for years, and they joined that retreat just to help push them through that barrier of writing it. Mm-hmm. So they have a lot of the manuscript put together in pieces and puzzles. But after, you know, at the end of the retreat, they made that commitment. Yes, I'm going to. And we aligned them up with some people that they needed to connect to. But after the retreat, I'm sending them text and I'm sending them postcards to say, what did you do today to move you forward toward publishing your book, writing your book, getting it on paper? And that's, people need that. People have good intentions, but you have to take those consecutive steps again and again. And the more you do it, the more you build up momentum and a thing called stamina. I don't like the word endurance. Endurance is when we use everything up, but
right.
Stamina is where we develop that cadence and that stamina to keep writing. I have a group that I'm in my inner circle, and every Monday and Thursday morning at 7 o'clock, everybody comes together on Zoom and nobody says a word because the commitment for that hour is to write. And so everybody, that's their accountability for an hour on Zoom. They're typing on their computers or writing. And here's a screen, no sound, nothing's being said. It's just the accountability to do it. Isn't that interesting?
That is fascinating. And I thought about it yesterday, this very same thing yesterday, because I've gotten back into going to yoga every day. My ex-wife owns a yoga studio, so I would do yoga every single day. Well, I did yoga for 10 years. I literally know every pose, everything in order myself. Don't need someone to lead me. But if I don't have someone leading me and other people around me, I approach it lazily or I don't do it at all. I get completely distracted. So that accountability piece, which you provide in your coaching, I think is so, so valuable as well.
Yeah, it's huge. We all need it. We all know what to do. And you know, I'm in a book club that I go to every Thursday morning, and we talk about a chapter, and there's about, I don't know, 10 of us in that. But there's a lot of times that I don't read my book, my chapter, until the night before or the morning of. I'm listening to it and underlining stuff. But the point is, I get it done.
Yeah.
Because I know that at, you know, 8:30 on Thursday morning, I'm going to be in front of all my buddies, and we're going to be talking about that chapter. That book mastermind has been a game changer for me through COVID and over the last 5 or 6 years. But I'm doing it. That's what's important.
That sounds like fun. I'd love to hear more about that. So maybe you can share with that, especially if it's open. But well, I want to close with, you touched on superpower advantages. Share more about that, would you please?
Yeah, I'd love to. Sally Hogshead, who is a branding expert years ago, just did an enormous amount of research to understand what it is about the human brain that gets fascinated with something, with a product and a brand or whatever it is. And in that, she had a neurological discovery of the 7 personality traits. And those, you know, the language, innovation, the language of creativity, passion, the language of relationships, power, the language of confidence and prestige, the language of excellence, all 7 of them. And what she did was she matched, you take the personality test and it picks your top 2, the top 2 of those that you are naturally gifted in. And we're all naturally gifted in a different thing. And it creates an archetype. Well, my archetype for innovation and power is the maverick leader. So that was my archetype. It, you know, it's part of what comes with material. Well, that's where the brand, the Change Energizer, came from, because it represents, my giftings are innovation, change. Hello? Things are going to change. Now, few people like change, but everybody loves to be energized. Mm. And so that's my superpower, helping people to energize change in their personal and their business and professional life. That's my superpower. Now, details, alert, my wife's strength is my dormant value. It's my least effective value. So if you get me into the weeds of a bunch of details, I'm in trouble. So I've learned to stay away from that. It's part of what I love about this personality profile, because then a person, they figure out, okay, I'm a maverick leader. I'm a rock star. I'm the loyal guard. And once you know and can own and be intentional about your natural giftings, you get to operate in them. And when you're in your zone, you're a lot more effective and people will pay more money to hire you.
What's the name of the book that we can read to figure out our archetype? Is there a book?
It is Your One Fascination. Your One Fascination. Sally Hogshead is the author. And if you type in Sally Hogshead, you can find that. Now, if you want to go
I'm putting it in here because one of the great things I love about interviewing people like yourself is I'm developing quite a to-be-read list. And this seems really fascinating. Because one of the things I've learned over the years, I mentioned my daughter works for me. She's a great speaker. She's as good as I am, but she doesn't enjoy it. She can do it, but it's not her passion. Her passion really is making sure that I make that flight from Cheyenne, Wyoming to Denver and bounce over to Boise or wherever I have to be. So that's really wonderful.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing.